Adonai tivtach ufiga dinatecha. O Lord, open my lips that I should speak only your praise, that I should speak only truth. And thank you for bringing me to this wonderful place, these wonderful people, all potential guests. I want you to begin by taking in the sight. It's something you don't get to see every day. I'm an unusual sight in this particular place. It reminds me of a story of a religious family that moved, a Jewish religious family that moved into a non-religious neighborhood in Jerusalem in the 1920s. And the women in that family dressed very modestly. They wore very long skirts and long sleeves, and they kind of stuck out in the neighborhood. And they went to the rabbi, the Chazon Ish, who was at that time was a very, very famous saint of the time. And they went to him and they said, "We're the only ones. We're the only ones." And they were so frustrated. And he said to them, he said, "When you're doing something you believe in, and even if there's nobody else doing it, never say you are the only one. Say you are the first." So I would like to thank Sayyid Hadi and your community for, if I'm not the first, at least I'm among the first to be doing this. So to prepare for this talk, I did what any self-respecting Twitter celebrity would do. I decided to crowdsource it. So to crowdsource it, what I did is I asked my followers, and this is a Twitter following of Muslims from all over the world, to share with me statements and traditions and stories of the Prophet of Islam that not only touch them, but change the way that they behave, that actually impact them, and to share with me not just the stories and sayings, but to tell me how those things actually impacted them. How did they change their behavior? And very soon I was inundated with these little glimpses of a man who lived 1,385 years ago, I hope I got the number right, but had a very profound influence on their lives in that very day. And as I read and I read, it started to become personal to me. Because I thought to myself, what would I like to be remembered for in 1,385 years? What would I want people to be saying about me if they were talking about me? Would I want them to know the make of my car? Would I want them to know the square footage of my home? Would I like them to know how many Twitter followers I have? Would I want them to know, you know, how long it took me to upgrade to an iPhone X? Would I want them to know how well I cook? It says, what is it that I want people to know, or I would want people to know about my life in 1,385 years? And my Twitter followers, when they talked about the prophets, they didn't talk about the size of his herds. I don't think he necessarily had very many. They didn't mention the grandeur of his homes. He didn't even have a door. They didn't mention the quality of the pastries at his table. Apparently he didn't eat white flour. It says they didn't mention even the way that he prayed or the way that he fasted or his prowess as a commander in war, except to say that he had mercy on those people over whom he was victorious. Nearly every single one of the hadith that was mentioned by Twitter followers, Muslims from every corner of the world, described how the Prophet treated other people and how that shaped the way they in turn treated other people. So one man told me that he always texted his wife before he came home because the Prophet used to send a messenger to his wife as a courtesy to her. Another described how patient he was with his children because he had the image of the Prophet praying and the children right climbing on his back. Another described the beauty of the Prophet's respect for his daughter and how that brought them to have respect for their own children, not only to treat them with love, but to treat them with respect. Describe many, many little discreet acts of kindness, many of them to the most vulnerable people in society, of generosity, of a smile that the Prophet accounted as charity. There were the incisive words, and this really touched me, to a Bedouin who never showed affection to his own children, telling him, "How can I teach you faith when you've forsaken simple human kindness?" If I'm going to be remembered in 1,385 years, my hope is that I'm also going to be remembered for my kindness to others, for my simplicity, my patience, for my relationship with others. Maybe I don't have any of those qualities yet, but I hope that I will. But I found something deeper, and I think something which is world-changing. Again and again, my Twitter followers, again, Muslims from every corner of the world, pointed not only to the Prophet's behavior with others, but very specifically to the behavior of the Prophet in moments of conflict. Again and again, people told the story of the woman who dumps her garbage on his front porch every day, and on one day she's too sick to do it, right? And he goes and he visits her. And by the way, I've been told the story may not be authentic. My rabbi once told me a story about a rabbi. It was kind of a wild story. If anyone wants to hear it afterwards, I'll be happy to tell you. And I told him, I said, "Rabbi, I'm really doubting this story is really authentic." And he says, "That may be so, but people don't tell stories like this about you." But the story, is an amazing story because it's a story about emotional maturity. And it's about a deep insight. The Prophet understood in the story that the woman's contempt for him was not really for him. Her contempt was for what she thought he was, not for who he really was. And when she saw who he really was, when he visited her when she was sick, she saw who he really was. He was patient enough to wait for that moment and to take that moment to show who he really was. People described incidents when groups of opponents would insult the Prophet on the street, and even as his protective young wife, Aisha, lost her temper, he counseled her, calm down, reminding her of the benefit of gentleness. Many quoted him saying to Aisha, "You must be gentle. Truly, gentleness is not in anything but that it beautifies it, and it is not removed from anything but that it disgraces it." CNN, Fox, Vox, your Facebook page, your Twitter page, pick the news source you first see every day. Every single one tells the same tale of a world dominated by that removal of gentleness. Petty aggression, differences. Petty aggressions that are fanned by false religion and nationalistic fervor into grotesque brutality. We're divided by our politics, our religions, our sects, our nationalities, our races. Every day the great pie of humanity is sliced into smaller and smaller slices. And people teach their children to love only their little sliver and to hate the rest of the pie. From the White House to the wild west of social media, we are overcome by an increasingly ugly troll culture, disgraceful in its lack of gentleness, fairness, or graciousness. And there are those for whom violence is now the only answer to every question, those who create the growing human rubble all over the planet. This is a diseased world. There are many symptoms, but the disease is the same. 1,385 years after his passing, my Twitter followers pointed to their prophet as the antidote to this disease. They saw him, and they see him, as a human embodiment of a culture of kindness, robust enough to face not only difference, but even to face conflict in a way that promotes grace and peace. So in keeping with the Jewish tradition, I'd like to end by invoking for us, all of us together, a blessing. I'd like to ask the Rabbono Shalom, the Master of the world, that she should bless all of us, that in 1,385 years, we too will be remembered as those who were kind to those around us, as those who were charitable, and those who were generous with our smile. But above all, I want to invoke the blessing upon all of us that we be remembered as those who turned our ugly, divided world around, who are brave enough, mature enough, faithful enough to face even the most profound differences squarely, but with love and respect. I want to invoke the blessing on all of us that we remembered in 1,385 years from now as faithful and fearless pursuers of peace. I'd like to end with a Hebrew rendition of Surat al-Fatiha. You'll recognize some of the words. They're cognate words. B'shem Elohim ha-Rachman v'ha-Rachum, ha-Tchila l'Elohim Rav Kol Amim, ha-Rachman v'ha-Rachum, melech yom ha-Din, otcha na'avod, elecha na'shuv, ha-Tchina b'derech ha-Yashav, b'dachem sha'ele asher netiyat lahem, It's my prayer for you. Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you so much for this great opportunity.